Good afternoon, good morning, good evening, depending on what part of the world you're in. I am R.C. Blakes, and I want to share something with you today. If this is your first time here, I'm a pastor, and I'm a man, and I'm a student of life. And so I love to observe the comings and goings of people, and how people interact and how people survive this thing called life. There's something that I taught recently in the New Home Family Worship Center Church where I pastor in the United States of America in the southern part between Louisiana and Texas. And it's a biblical perspective on understanding or at least getting a grasp on the tension between men and women. Why is it that, the question is always asked, why is it that, hello everyone, thank you for coming in. I like to get started because people have short attention spans. That's why I don't spend a lot of time greeting you all. But the question is always asked, why is it that men and women love one another so much, you know? To most women, men are irresistible, and to most men, women are irresistible. And yet, when you push either into a corner, the biggest challenge for a woman is the man she loves. And quite often, sometimes, the biggest challenge for a man is the woman that she loves. And why is this? What happened, you know? Why is this? If you look in the book of Genesis, and this is a biblical perspective, so if you hear me reading the Bible, remember I am a preacher, and this is a biblical perspective. But if you look in Genesis chapter 2, verses 21 and 22, and those of you that are in here that may function as scribes, you can write the scriptures as we go. Some people actually like to take notes, and I love it when people do. In Genesis chapter 2, verses 21 and 22, it says, "And the Lord God caused the deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man." So God made everything Adam needed, and he put him in this garden. He gave him all of this power and all of this authority and all of these blessings. But then, you know, when you read the full context, you see where God says it's not good for him to be alone. So God reaches into Adam and he pulls out a rib and he creates the woman, creates Eve, which means mother of all living. So the first woman, biblically, the first woman, her name was Eve, mother of all living. Nothing, and that's a major principle for life and relationships. Nothing lives without woman. Man is like seed, you know, he possesses seed. He's like a bag of seed. But if I have a bag of seed in the middle of the concrete jungle where there is no soil, the seed will do me no good. Seed must have what? Soil. Well, if man is the seed, the woman is the soil of life. And nothing lives without the woman. Eve was, in essence, the key to Adam's potential. You know, everybody, you know, is in an uproar about why is it that I, as a man, love women so much. I love my wife. I love my daughters. I'm an advocate for women. And people wonder, why is that? But the reality is that any man that is consciously man, is a conscious man, automatically comes into a posture where He protects, defends, and he's an advocate for womanhood, because the woman brings into the man's life the fulfillment of all of the potential that God put in him. Adam had all of this potential in him, and God said, it's not good for him to be alone. I have to make him one that is suitable. When it says help meet, it's not talking about a servant or a slave. The Bible's talking about one that is suitable, one that goes along with him to extract all of the potential out of him and to actually see it manifest. So we're looking at the dynamics, the divine dynamics between the woman and the man, and why God created both, and why God gave Eve to Adam. In Genesis 2 and 20, it says, and Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found, there it is, an helpmeet, one that is suitable. The male cow had the female cow, so they could bring forth and multiply. The male monkey had the female monkey, so they could reproduce. But for Adam, there was not one suitable that could take that which was in him and help him to what? Reproduce himself. So God gave him a woman. This is why a man, a conscious man, views womanhood as a gift, because the woman is the gift to the man. She's God's gift to the man. Now, it's hard for you to see that as a man if you're not conscious. You know, if you're still struggling with a boy's psychology, little boys fight with girls, it's going to be hard for you to comprehend or to process what I just said, because when you're not fully man, you find yourself in competition with the woman. But now let me move forward. I don't want to ramble. The woman was created to help Adam to dominate. She was God's most precious gift to him. You know, like I was sitting and I was looking, and Lisa is just about 10 feet away from me now. And I was just looking and thinking about all of the things. And listen to this very carefully, thinking about all of the things that God has put in me. And, you know, most of it has not even come to surface yet. But it's amazing to me where God has brought me from and brought me to. Well, 99% of those things that God put in me were like ideas and visions. You know what I mean? I have a lot of visions and a lot of ideas, but the strange thing is that I don't possess, it's like my brain doesn't work to actually facilitate the ideas and the dreams and the visions I have. It's like I see them, but I don't know how to actually make it come to pass. And then it's like God gives me my wife, and it's like she sees, you know, when I speak, she sees everything I'm saying, and it's like she can pull it together and actually make it happen. Because the woman is what? The gift that God gave to the man. The woman was never created to be Adam's slave. Eve was never created. And I know we hear a lot of twisted theology, you know, around the man's role versus the woman's role. But when you look in the book of Genesis, in creation as it was originally, God never created the woman to be subservient or second class to the man. She was actually his equal. She was his equal in dominion. And in 1 Corinthians 11, 8 and 9, it says, for the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. Meaning what? The man was the one that needed help. So God created the woman to what? Help the man. So it's interesting that God chose to create Eve. Now listen to this. Listen to this very carefully. It's interesting when you look at the biblical account of Adam and Eve's creation. It's interesting that God chose to create Eve from Adam's rib. Because, you know, one of the points made is that the rib is from the side of the man, meaning what? The woman was created to stand right alongside, not really behind. We have said behind every great man, there's a woman. Well, that's not talking about physically or positionally behind, but it means that she has his back. But in terms of God's order, she was created right alongside him, his equivalent in dominion. But it's interesting that God creates Eve from Adam's rib, because the rib houses and protects vital the vital organs. You know, it houses everything that is vital inside of you is housed within your rib cage. And as I just stated, the mark of manhood, the mark of full and complete manhood is the recognition of the gift of womanhood, that God has given us the woman, you know, to cover us and to protect us. Let's not use the word cover because religious folk gonna jump on it. Oh, the man covers the woman. And I understand all of that. But in the same token, God gives the woman to us because we needed what the woman provides. Now, the woman was given to the man, again, to birth his potential. The question is, how did we come to the point where man is working against the woman and the woman against the man? And yet there's this passionate love one for the other that is many times misconstrued and misdirected. Why does the man, in most cases, not all, but if God gave the woman to us as men, if God recognized that we needed help and he gave the woman to help us to maximize and to actually manifest our potential and to be God's greatest gift to us as men, why is it that the man, in most cases throughout the world, breaks his own rib? God created her from Adam's rib. Why is it that the man is completely dedicated and committed to breaking his own rib? In other words, why are we as men working overtime to hurt and to break the woman that God has given to us? Now, I hear you and I feel you. You know, I get it all the time. Well, you know, Pastor, there are women that are no good too. And I agree with that. There are women that are no good. I promise you, I'm aware of that. You know, I know that it's not always one-sided, but I will add this to it. The women that are responding aggressively and negatively towards men today are most of the time the product of the abuse of men, either from fathers, from previous men, from sons. And so it's this constant trauma that creates, thank you, Anisha, it's this constant trauma that creates this broken psychology in the woman that makes her, for lack of a more sophisticated way of saying it, give the man some of his own medicine. But for us as men, you know, we were never traumatized. There was no generation of women that just abused us and broke us down to the point that we, you know, turned into this beast. So we created that, in other words, you know, because a woman can only reproduce. When you think biologically, you think spiritually. If you're a Christian like I am and you believe the Bible, when you think spiritually, and if you look at Genesis, the account of the creation of man, as at least a model of how the male-female dynamic works, a woman can only reproduce what a man gives her. So if a woman is reproducing aggression, it means that a man had to seed that. I have, you know, beautiful children that are the product of my seed. My wife can only bring forth those children based on the seed that I provided. And so it is in life. You know, when we see stuff coming out of our woman, out of our women, we can't stop at what she or what they're doing. We have to ask ourselves the question, now, what did I do to seed into this? What did I do to create this? If not me personally, what did generations of other men do to create this dysfunction in the woman that God gave to man to be a blessing to him, that now she's working against him? So why does the man break his own rib? Okay, letter A. That's the question. Why does the man break his own rib? Why does the man work against the woman? Letter A. A man a man works to break his own rib or the women in his life, when the brokenness and the insecurity of the man is not processed, when a man is broken, and when a man is personally insecure as a man, he will make it his full-time job to break women. Broken men destroy strong women. When a man's brokenness and his personal insecurity has not been processed, he will spend his time breaking the women in his life, from his girlfriends to his wives to his daughters. He'll spend his time breaking the women in his life. It takes a broken man to break a perfectly good woman. And there are some that are on here now who are perfectly good women who are presently in the hands of broken men. And that broken man is breaking her down slowly, slowly but surely. Because a broken man, he makes it his full-time job to break woman. Now let's see something in Ephesians chapter 5. Yeah, of course they're broken by society. Absolutely. I agree with you. And they bring that trauma home. But in Ephesians 5, 25 through 29, it says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives," watch this, "as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man," here it is, "for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church." So we see here, when a man works against, when a man destroys the women in his life, there's something fundamentally wrong with his spiritual makeup. Because when a man loves his wife as Christ loved the church, he will love his wife like he loves himself. And no man in his right mind destroys his own flesh. So no man in his right mind would work to destroy his own woman. Now let's go back to the Genesis account. When Adam was whole and in sync with God, we see that he built Eve up and he empowered her. In other words, before they disobeyed God, before God separated Adam from his presence, before he and God had a falling out, when Adam was a whole and complete man, spirit, soul, and body, we see where Adam built Eve, his wife, up. It wasn't until after the fall that we see something different. In Genesis chapter 2, verses 22 and 23, it says, "In the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." Now listen to his language and listen to how he's building her up. She's bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. What he's doing is he's affirming her as his equal in dominion. That's what he's doing. When he calls her a woman is simply a man with a womb. He's recognizing that she's the same as me. She just has the potential and the power to give birth. She's a man as much as I am with a womb. She has the right to dominion and the power to walk in dominion just like I do, but she has the power to give birth to things. So what is he doing here? He's building her up. He's affirming her. When he's a whole and healthy man, he's building her up and he's affirming her. Now, after Adam falls through disobedience, not doing what God told him to do, and Adam is out of sync with God, his first reaction is to throw his woman under the bus. Interesting. When he's in sync with God, his first reaction to Eve is to build her up. When he falls out of harmony with God, his first reaction is to tear her down. In Genesis 3, 10 through 12, it says, "And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden." This is after God is like, you know, "What did you do? Why, you know, why did you eat of this tree? Why didn't you do what I told you to do?" And it says, and Adam responds to God, and he said, "I heard that voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told thee that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat?" And the man said, "The woman," listen to his wording now, "the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." So now he's not taking responsibility for his own actions. Of course, you say, well, Eve brought the stuff to him. Yes, she did. She did. But God made the agreement with Adam, and Adam was supposed to be a man, which means he was supposed to honor his agreements and his covenants. And so rather than Adam taking responsibility, the first thing this broken Adam does is he throws his woman under the bus. He says, look, God, the woman you gave me, she's the reason I'm in this condition. When Adam was whole, he poured into his woman. When he became depleted spiritually, he accused and left his woman uncovered. Yeah. So that's something in that. When a man is not right with God, he can't be right with himself or his woman.
If you would like more information or for other resources, please visit us on the web at rcblakes.com.